Lectionary Lab Live is recorded by Two Bubbas and a Bible live from Gainesville, Florida and Brasstown, North Carolina.
Welcome, everybody, to the Lectionary Lab Live. I'm John Fairless. I'm here with my Bubba, Delmer Chilton. Say hey, Bubba.
Hey, Bubba.
Hey, man. Good to hear from you. Glad to know you're not shut down yet. Everything's
well, I'm crazy.
I'm pretty much
self-isolating.
Well, you're self-quarantined up there in the mountain. And
on purpose. I'm 66. And I have some high blood pressure. I take medication, but that's one of the categories. And my wife had chemo for breast cancer a couple of years ago. Yep. So her immune system's not back to what it should be. So we're pretty much
doing the right thing.
We'll see our kids and grandkid and that sort of thing. But got lots of gloves, lots of things to wipe with. And,
there you go.
That's where we are.
Well, you're raising the issue that really concerns us all. And let's go ahead right up front and say we're not going to make a lot of jokes about coronavirus and outbreaks and other things today because we take this pretty seriously. And we have a concern for all of you pastors and preachers and teachers who are called to minister in the midst of what we know full well is a global pandemic, and we are in territory that none of us have ever lived through before. And some of us are preaching face-to-face. Some churches are gathering. Others are dismissing. You know, what in the Sam Hill do we do? And so we are going to read the text today because our take on this show and as preachers is we always must read the text in context and say, where's the word of the Lord for today? And so let's do that. And don't let me forget, Bubba, before the show ends, I want to talk about a special opportunity that we want to offer as the Lectionary Lab for pastors who might like to have a little more conversation and interaction. We're going to talk about a live event that we'd like to sponsor next week online. And I'll give more details at the end. But let's go ahead. Let me hear what you got on your mind as we try to think about preaching for this
week. You know, John, this is head spinning for everybody, everybody involved. Nobody's ever done anything like this. I've been 43 years in a couple of months. It'll be 43 years since I was ordained. I've never seen anything like this. It's testing everyone's emotions and their coping skills. I was thinking recently, closest I can come is when I was sitting in your office at Brook Hollow 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Sitting in your office and the secretary came in and said, there's something amazing, something terrible is happening on the radio. We ran down the hall to the youth room with the big screen TV. Of course, that was 9/11 and the aftermath. And then everybody's, what do we do?
Right.
What do we do?
Right.
It's head spinning. And, you know, and things like Katrina for us in the Southeast, trying to respond to that not long after that, a few other things. I will tell you how head spinning this is. I made notes this morning about questions for clergy, and one was professionally, and I said, the CDC says not over 50 for the next 8 weeks. And I've just had to mark this out in the last hour as President Trump and his team have come out and said, no more than 10 people in one place for the next 15 days and see if this is happening fast.
Yeah.
And those kind of things make us say, well, what does our congregation do? You know, what about services and meetings and things? And I just got a text a few minutes ago from the Western North Carolina Diocese of the Episcopal Church, you know, where I'm sort of part-time helping out at a local church. And so I'm on the mailing list and all the things that are canceled and all the recommendations.
Yeah.
So a lot of us are saying, what do we do? How do we make this work? And another thing is just personally, we're sitting here going, well, how do I keep safe? How do I serve people? You know, I might want to go out and see people. I might get connected with the virus, and then I'm going around visiting old people and trying to take care of them, and I'm carrying it around. I mean, yeah. Those are things you have to think about. And then financially, if you don't have church for two months, I mean, some churches, that's going to be tough. And then you're thinking, it's okay, Pastor. They don't meet. What about the collections? What about paychecks? What about the finances? What are we going to do? This is what makes us our heads spin. And then you get to talking to people within the church and outside the church. And I found our memory verse, John. This is not a joke. But John 9:16. And they were divided. Wow, because they're talking about that. And this is where we are as a country. We're divided, and we need to find a way to come back to some kind of unity. And what John and I hope to be able to do is say some things in reflection on this text and offering this opportunity later of saying, here are some ways we can think about being unified as congregations and as the clergy of variety of denominations as we help people. Because we're in this together. We've got to find a way to do as we've been told, stay separate, because there's no drug, there's no test, and this is the only thing we can do right now until it gets further. So that's my speech, as it were, if it were, that this is difficult. This is a hard time. So.
Indeed, you are right, and I am with you on that. I don't know how many times I can say it. We've never been here before, and we've never confronted issues. Living in Florida, we had to shut our church for 2 weeks one time due to back-to-back hurricanes. And I remember all going through everything and thinking through the logistics and what will people do about their offerings and, you know, how do we keep people safe? But we knew the hurricane was going to pass, and we were pretty experienced at battening down the hatches, you know, hunkering down. We are now talking, and you talk about how rapidly things develop. The beginning of last week, I talked with the chair of my church council, and we said, well, are we going to meet? Well, yeah, we're meet. We're going to have a faithful response. We're going to be careful. We're going to spread everybody out. We're not going to pass offering plates around. We were making those plans. By Friday morning, the CDC was giving its projections, and at that time it was at what, 200 people or something, you know, don't gather more than 200 people. And so we decided, look, we're going to do the prudent thing. And we dismissed our worship. We were able to provide an online option. We had about 140 people tune in for online church. We kind of whipped it up in a hurry, but it has just continued to change. And to worsen. And there's an issue for us of our stewardship, not just of our money, but of the wisdom that God has given us, participation with the greater society. And at what point do you say it is not an unfaithful response to be wise in when we gather and when we don't? It's crazy. So let's think about these texts in a whirlwind like that. And we'll have more discussion of the logistics and some of the other personal and professional things in our live session, which I'll give you the details for in just a few moments. Well,
and so in responding to this situation, whether you decide to gather your community in one place, or as we hope, and we're going to talk about it toward the end of this, some ways in which you can do it by social media, YouTube, streaming on Facebook, other options. you need to read these texts in the context of the situation we're in. So that's what I tried to do. This is different than the way that I have read, worked this before. I haven't done the different, that kind of depth. I looked at this with an eye that says, where is a word from the Lord?
Yep.
Concern for people gathered in fear around this kind of time. So I was looking at Samuel, 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13, and this is, we're in these familiar stories.
Right. You know?
And this is where Saul is just not measuring up. There's some problems, and they need a leader, they need a king, and Samuel is saying, how long are you going to grieve over Saul? We have got to have a leader, et cetera, et cetera. And so they go, and they go to Jesse and all this, and you'll know the one. So you got all these strong and handsome and all of these things. And then they finally say, is this all your seven, are these all of them? And he says, well, I got this one insignificant one over there.
The little ones out there.
The little runt. Ones out there, the runt, will bring him. And, of course, that's David. Now, what I see here is that there's a time of trouble, a time of you don't know where to turn, and you're looking to all of these places, and the promise of the scripture is God's unexpected grace. That one of the things we are struggling with is holding on to a trust that God's unexpected grace will come to us. This is what Samuel models for us here. Not in the details, but in the overall story, that the people are in need and God provides, and it comes from an unexpected place. And we are desperately looking around for help. I don't know where that may come from, but one of the things is places we may resist, like staying at home and not going to church and not doing what we normally do, mm-hmm. but trusting that God will help us. The Psalm, you know, is, boy, look at what showed up here. Psalm 23.
There you go.
Is there ever, I was watching, I love old television. When I have all the news I can take, I love old Westerns, and I'll flip over and watch whatever's there, and it was Rooster Cogburn. Which is the follow-up to True Grit. It's got Katharine Hepburn. And one of the opening scenes is where the bad guys shoot up the mission, where her father's the preacher and she's the teacher. And there's this moment where she confronts this bad guy with her haughty New England, Connecticut, Yankee congregationalist ways. And pulls out guns and starts shooting at her. And her response is to walk away quietly with her father reciting the 23rd Psalm. And, you know, even though I walk through the darkest valley, the New or Revised Standard Version says, this is a dark valley. I wouldn't say the valley of the shadow of death. We don't want to put resurrection to this. This is a story. This is a psalm about when you're scared out of your wits.
That's a good way to say it. Yep.
This is what I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is what Paul refers to in Corinthians, not a text we have today, but when he talks about the mystery of faith, we're stewards of the mysteries of God. One of the great mysteries is how we have faith in God in the midst of the darkest valleys of our lives.
Yeah.
And for many, this is a dark valley, particularly for those who've lost someone. But for the rest of us, there's a great deal of fear. There's a great deal of panic going to grocery stores, and people are trying to do whatever they can. This is a situation in which we don't understand what's going on, so we're afraid. My son, older son, who's a pastor now, was telling me a while ago about his first experience in rowing. At the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga, he was recruited to be on the rowing team, mainly because he was tall with long arms. And if you think about it, pulling that thing, if you get the handle on it,
go crew. Good. Yeah.
Go crew. And he said, but everybody who's first time in a boat is it's a narrow little boat. And the oars are 12 feet long and they're scared to death. They're going to turn the thing over.
We ain't talking about Billy Joe Bob's bass boat here.
No, this thing's about as wide as your hips, and you got eight big, he was the big boy boat, you know, heavyweights, and they're in there, and they got these, and every time one of them moved, it would jiggle this way and that way, and they're in the middle of the river running through Chattanooga, and he said, everybody's scared and jittery, because they don't understand what's happening.
Yep.
And they overreact, over-respond, try to do something. One moves over on the right side, the one on the, that's got a row, and the other reacts, and the boat goes up and does this. And that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
I'm just going to leave it at that. That's where we all are. This is some, we're like newbies in the crew boat, afraid we're going to turn it over and don't know what's happening. And though we row through the darkest valley of our fears, we find the psalm calls us to find deep within us that God is with us. And his rod and staff is with us.
That perspective really opens up verse 3 of Psalm 23. And I'm like many of you and even many of our church members, I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard, read, recited Psalm 23. And I'm reading especially verse 3 with new eyes now. Yeah. God restores my soul and leads me in right paths. We're drained. Not only are we afraid, that fear drains us. It drains our emotions. And boy, we're tired and worn out already. And, you know, I'm not always a fan of Steve Mnuchin, our Treasury Secretary, but at least he was honest enough this week to say, you know, we're in about the second inning of dealing with this. And, you know, those of us that like baseball know, well, you got 9 innings to play, and yet we're tired. And so not only I love the grace in that opening Hebrew scripture, God's answer in unexpected places. And here in the psalm, I see it is God who restores my soul, God who is walking the dark valley. And to then say, well, surely goodness and mercy are here somewhere. Aren't they following along? It opens a possibility for us to open our eyes and the eyes of our faith and of our hearts to be opened.
So, and I'm going to move on from this, but one of my, I guess I'd say it's an illustration, but you know the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God.
Mm-hmm.
Written by Martin,
background of that
Martin Rinkert, Ellenburg, Saxony, during the 30 Years' War. At one time, he was burying 50 people a day.
Yep.
And armies overran the town, the plague, et cetera. And in the midst of that, he wrote, Now Thank We All Our God. And that is the spirit of Psalm 23, is that we walk through these dark valleys, but the mystery of God's grace is still there. So Ephesians, I'm just, like I said, I'm just walking through them looking for something that relates to where we are today. Live as children of light. That's the line that leaps out at me here. And this is, I'll confess, one of my mentors, Pastor Charles Nicholson, said, never take a text out of context and make a pretext out of it.
Yep.
So I'm confessing, I reckon I'm taking a text out of context and making a pretext, because this one mostly goes back and forth about doing what's pleasing to God and don't walk in the darkness, and what's in the darkness will come as come unto the light. So it's more about something else. But I do think we are called to walk as children of light in a dark time. You can tie that to the darkness in the valley, that we are to walk as children of light. In the last line, sleep or wake, rise. We are to rise up from the death of fear. Be wise. That is, like I said, I'm self-isolating, but I am trying to find ways to reach out to the world. And partly, I am being a child of the light by staying home and not being the potential to carry it to people.
That's right.
I'm staying home not merely because I'm over 65 and my wife has recently had cancer and chemo. I'm staying home for on benefit of my neighbor because I feel fine. You know, I don't, you know, and I could say I'm not, I'm in rural North Carolina. There are 10,000 people in this county. I got to go out of my way to get with 10 people in one place. But I can do that at church, and I can do that at the grocery store. And I don't need to do that. Living as a child of the light is telling the truth to people as you see it about what's going on, encouraging them, and doing good things for their benefit, for the benefit of your neighbor, loving your neighbor. And as I said, John 9, 1 through 41, 9, 16, and they were divided. My thoughts on this is a long story. I mean, all of these gospel lessons for these 3 weeks are long 40 verse Johannine stories. I think one of the interesting questions comes right at the beginning. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? One of the things that happens in a moment like this is finger pointing starts.
Oh, boy. Assumptions.
Assumptions and finger pointing. And some people are saying, well, you're overreacting. Well, you don't care enough. Well, it was the Chinese. What about those Europeans? They should have done something. Maybe Donald Trump did that wrong. No, Obama didn't have things set up. I could go on and on of stuff I've heard. Who sinned that we're in this situation?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're this situation.
Sleeper awake.
Wake. Don't
come on. Wake
it
up,
don't
people.
Matter. Even if you figure out who's responsible, what good does it do? None. That's one of the first things that leapt out at me is we are to be healers. And basically Jesus was saying, this man needs healing. It doesn't matter how he got this way. The second thing you go on down when they start arguing about the Sabbath, where you get down to they were divided as they were arguing. And, you know, we don't have to talk a lot about Sabbath. This is more about, well, that's not the right way to do this. 10, 50, shut down, total lockdown.
Right.
Most of us who are making opinions about this don't have any idea. There comes a point at which you have to take the basic understanding that that we need to pay attention to the science and the health leaders who say to us, we need to separate, we need to take care of, let this die down, and we need to move beyond division to caring for one another. And the last reflection I had there gets down to the end. And this is kind of, I was joking with a friend of mine about the way Lutherans, Garrison Keillor said Lutherans should end the sermon. On the other hand, what do I know? Or I could be wrong. Verse 9:40. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? Now, in their case, they were saying, we're not blind. But I think we need to say it in a more self-reflective way. Think about the possibility we could be wrong. And pay attention to one another. And err on the side of love. As we seek to care for one another.
That's it. I do love this story and the context that you were just saying, the immediacy of the need. At this point, it doesn't matter who's right and who's wrong and what's gone before and so on. And this story lays it out pretty well. They ask a lot of questions. They point a lot of fingers and so on and so forth. For me, verse 25 has always been so powerful. At the end of it, he says, well, look, I don't know if the fellow's a sinner or not, but here's what I know. I was blind. And now I can see.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we need to just kind of boil things down and say, what is it that's around us? What is it that's at hand? How are we called to live as children of light? We're not far removed from Epiphany. And many of us read through the Sermon on the Mount there for several weeks. How are we called to live and shine the light? And it may be as simple as saying, you know what, I'm going to do my part and stay home. It may be going to the grocery store and strolling calmly down the toilet paper aisle and people are fighting and pushing and shoving. And you say, you know, I only need this 4-pack. That's all I'm going to take. It may be, as I told my folks Sunday at the conclusion of our online service, look, this is a great opportunity. Don't hoard. Share.
Yep.
Live as children of the light. Do we have all the answers? No. Do we know everything's going to be all right? Not really any more than we ever have. And I think Pastor Rinkert's hymn is a great resource. Look, we're going to give thanks to God, and one way or the other, everything is going to be all right. Right. That's what our faith tells us. We need to do the right things.
Everything's going to be all right.
On the side of love,
everything's going to be all right in this world or the next.
That's it.
And that's part of the mystery of faith.
Yeah.
Christ has died. That we know. Mm-hmm. Christ is risen. That we believe. Christ shall come again. That we hope.
That's what we hope. That's a pretty good sermon right there.
It is. My first district superintendent, Dr. N.W. Nick Grant. He was 66, a really old, decrepit man.
What an old guy.
When I was 23, he was the district superintendent in that Methodist Burlington circuit, Burlington district up in North Carolina. And those of you who have any Methodist background will get the idea of who he was. He was my supervising person. And about midway through my first year, I was in deep, you know, with my congregation, and just that didn't work out. But I sat in his office and he told me something I've never forgotten. He said, "Delmer, in 45 years of ministry, I have discovered it's never as bad as we fear, and it will never turn out as good as we hope. We have to live in the middle and know it's never going to be as bad as we fear, and it's never going to be as good as we can dream and hope, but God will be with us throughout it." And that, you know, I got moved on to another parish after 1 year, but it was not as bad as I feared. And the new place, it wasn't as good as I hoped, but it was okay. And I think that's what I carry with me.
I think that's a great word from your long ago DS. And I think it's great for us as we move towards wrapping up today. What is the gospel? God is with us. And whatever, Pastor, text you use or whatever opportunity you have to say, I believe the call for us is to bring the gospel. And we have to find ways to help our people remember God is with us. And whether it's God's grace in the unexpected, whether it's God with us in the darkest of valleys, where it is God shining God's light and encouraging us to live as children of the light, or whether it's God with us in Jesus saying, you know, look, let's take care of these immediate needs. And a fellow saying, there may be a lot of other stuff, but I'm telling you what, I was blind and now I can see, erring on the side of love. All of it, good expressions, good expressions. Listen, let me talk just a minute about what we hope to do next week. And next week's a long ways away and a lot can happen, but I just really felt compelled today to provide an opportunity for us to talk as pastors and to talk face to face as best we can. Fortunately, we have a great opportunity to get online and speak, and so I'm going to open a Zoom room next week. Some of you know what that is. Others may not be familiar or may not have had an opportunity to use Zoom, but what I will have is a link that will be posted on our lectionarylab.com website. It will also be posted on Facebook on our Lectionary Lab Facebook page, and it will simply be all you have to do is click on that link. If you've been a Zoom user before, you know you'll be taken to a personalized meeting room. If you have never used Zoom before, they will probably ask you to download a very simple program that allows your computer to join with the other computers. Zoom is a very reputable program. I've used it. It's how Delmer and I do the show each week now. So I hope you'll trust us enough on that. We're going to meet next Monday. That will be March the 23rd, I believe. Is that the right date? Yeah. Next Monday, March the 23rd, I'm going to open the Zoom room at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We have listeners literally around the world, across the country, in multiple time zones. So we just tried to find a time that was not too early for some, not too late for others. And we're just going to talk as pastors. We're going to talk about what it means to help our people through a time such as this. And y'all come join us, okay? I've got room for 100 people. Or 100 people to sign on. If there are some of you that want to get together, maybe with somebody else there, and more than one person on screen at a time, but we'll certainly take the first 100 that might want to come. Maybe I ought to say we'll take the first two or three, because that may be all of you.
You'd be an optimistic, Bubba, about our importance and our draw here.
I just knew that I found myself over the weekend going, who in the world do I talk to about this?
Right.
How do I talk with other pastors and with others who are facing the kind of decisions we are? And how do I have a faithful ministry amongst my people? So, Lectionary Lab, Two Bubbas and a Bible, will be open for business live next week, March the 23rd, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Look for the link on lectionarylab.com and the Lectionary Lab Facebook page.
Well, I have another quick question.
Yes, sir.
Do you have any suggestions for people that might want to do something social media-wise for their congregation, and a couple of ideas, simple ideas for those? Those people who know more elaborate ideas don't need your help.
They know how to do that's right. Help. That's right. If you're an expert at video production, et cetera, that's fine.
Just pretend you're explaining it to me, John.
Yeah. I will tell you two simple options that I have used. You may or may not be a fan of Facebook, but one of the things Facebook makes very easy is what they call Facebook Live. And if you have an account, your church may have an account. Personally, if you have an account, there's a spot where you can find that word live, or you can type in Facebook Live, and you can broadcast from a cell phone or an iPad. If you have a webcam on your computer, you can broadcast from there. And people, it's simple to do. And it's easy to sign on. The only drawback is people have to have a Facebook account for the most part to be able to see that video, unless you are translating the video to a site like YouTube. Now, this past week in my church, I did use YouTube. They have a live option as well. It's just a little bit more complicated to do, and you cannot use a cell phone or an iPad. You can't make a mobile broadcast live on YouTube unless you already have a channel with 1,000 subscribers. So I don't think that's many of us. I will talk in more detail next week on the live session about how to do YouTube. I was able to do that without having 1,000 subscribers. It was live. I think I mentioned we had 140 people tune in for the service. That met a very important need for many of our folks. We were being faithful to participate in the quarantine, and yet we claimed the scripture that said, two or more gathered in my name up there in the midst, even if most of us were on social media.
One of the quick things to say to be careful about is music that you use and copyright, that kind of thing. I don't think that, you know, my son would get upset with me if I said, well, I wouldn't worry about it too much, but I would. You shouldn't.
A contemporary song that's under current copyright may have issues, particularly if you're performing with a performance track of some sort. Many times the live performance for worship is there are ways that that's okay. Do what I did. Use public domain hymns.
That's right. That's what I was getting at. Public domain hymns that people, and besides, people sitting at home, you want them to do something they can do in case they don't have a book or anything. Yeah. And don't do too much. You know, a hymn, a scripture, a lesson, a prayer. And an announcement or two, and you're done. Just so they
don't have to do a whole production. Again, we're just trying to keep people together. Again, I want to talk more about that, and I'd love to hear other ideas in our live session next week. I think we're going to be in this for the long haul, Bubba. I think many of our churches are going to be dismissed. For the first time in my lifetime, we're looking at not gathering on Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
And that's just really something. We'll talk about all that stuff. Y'all join us. Bubba, we better cut it off here today.
How to be church in the midst of a pestilence and Luther's.
What do you do?
Words.
That's it.
What do you do?
That's it. All right. Not much left for us to do today other than to tell everybody bye.
Everybody bye.
Now God walks the dark field.
Lectionary Lab Live is a Two Bubbas and the Bible production. Our opening theme is Safety Net, performed by Riot. We go out tonight with God Walks the Dark Hills, a gospel classic by Sister Vestal Goodman.